We're going to sing today is entitled Promises.
Before, doesn't know anything about, he's going to have him get behind his pulpit. So I understand the importance of this, and I appreciate him being willing to have us come. I know Brother Lester, Pastor Lester, was talking with him about me, so I'm glad that he was willing to promote my name. That's good. And I trust that it will be a blessing this morning. I trust the Word of God is a blessing to you. It should always be a blessing to you anytime the Word of God is open. I trust you read it throughout the week, every day. Spend some time in the Word of God. And I trust that even this morning, it'll be a blessing to you as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I grabbed my wrong Bible here today. I didn't get the right one. My eyes are going and failing me. But we're going to try to read this thing. It's a small print. And I may have to try to work at it. But you bear with me. And we'll look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning here, verse number 1. He says, wherefore, I've got to take my glasses off here, maybe that'll help. He says, wherefore we can no longer forbear. When we can no longer forbear, he says, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And he says in verse number 3, this will be the text here of our message this morning. He says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. No doubt there were people in that day trying to move the church of Thessalonica from its steadfastness on the faith. And maybe they had friends, and maybe they were workers of wherever they were working at, those kinds of things, neighbors, people around them, the society of that day, their community was trying to move them, and maybe putting pressure on them and putting different demands upon them that they should move away from the faith that they believed in. You remember Jesus said, the just shall live by faith. And so they were living by their faith. There were people in that day that are causing affliction, bringing different pressures and trials in their life to move the church of God from their stand upon the faith, upon the biblical principles that they lived. I want us to consider that thought here this morning, this idea of standing fast. Standing fast. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. And we thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, to open the word of God, to read it, and to find what it has for us in our lives. Lord, I pray that this morning you'd use the Word of God in a special way to help us to recognize in this day and in this hour, more than ever, the church of God needs to stand fast. And I pray to encourage us in that. I pray that we look to our lives and recognize the areas and maybe the people that are in our lives that we just need to stand strong and be fast and be immovable. And Father, that we would not in this day be moved by these afflictions that we might face in our day and our time. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for grace in our lives. Lord, you've been so good to us all down through the years and the times of your church and the church age. Lord, you've been good to your people. And I pray, Lord, that we'd open our hearts and worship you today. I thank you for the song service. Thank you for the specials that have been sung. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to worship you today. And I pray that you'd use this for your honor and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've heard a message down through, I don't know, quite some time now. We've heard this message that you need a compromise in order to get along and in order to get things done, especially in politics. You hear this, we've heard this for many years now, haven't we? The Democrats want the Republicans to compromise so they get the votes that they need to do the things they want to do, right? Get things done. Republicans can probably say the same thing. They want the Democrats to compromise so they can get the votes they need to accomplish the things they want to accomplish and get things done. And so they have this idea, you need to cross the aisle. You need to cross the aisle. And this whole thing of compromise. You know, what's interesting today, I find that this idea of compromise is actually moving into this thing of submission. Now one side wants the other side to completely submit to their ideology, to their principles and their way of doing things. And it's like they're calling for the other side, just completely abandon all your principles and just submit to our ideology. Submit to our way and just give in to what we want to accomplish. But can I say this morning for you and I, the church, those of us that are saved, know the Word of God, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to principle, there's never a good reason to compromise. There's never a good reason to abandon principle so that we can supposedly get along or supposedly get things done. I think the Bible makes it clear that you and I, the church, we need to stand upon the Word of God and what it teaches and the principles that we find therein. In fact, let me have you turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to do my best to read this here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I think we can find it's pretty clear in this passage that God's people, God's church, is to stand upon the truth of God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you find your place there. Look at verse number 14, and we'll begin reading there, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and beginning here, verse number 14, he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" We could say they're truth versus error. What relationship does truth have with error? It has not. There's no equalness. There's no fellowship there. It says in verse 15. "And what concord, or accordance, if you will, hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." What's he saying? He said, if you're saved this morning, you're in God's family. You're God's children. You're God's servants. He says, you need to have that unity with God, not with this world. He says, you're different. You're called out of this world. He goes on to say there, if I can find it again here, verse number 17. "Wherefore, come out from among them," that is the world, the society of the devil there, "and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." That is a powerful verse. That's the Lord God Almighty saying these things. And he's saying, listen, you as a church, God's people, he says, we don't need to compromise. We don't need to give in to the demands of society. We need to stand fast. And I'm sure the world's not going to like that. I'm sure we're going to face afflictions or we're going to face tribulations. But as Paul says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. I want to encourage you this morning, let's stand fast. Until the end of time, if you will, until Lord Jesus Christ returns, let us stand fast and do God's work. God's church should never concede to this world's demands. Never let this church concede to this society's demands that might be placed upon this ministry. Just keep standing fast. Don't be moved by these afflictions. You know, Satan's at work. You know, he's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom may devour. He's at work to try to destroy all righteousness through compromise, through a submission, if you will, through this abandonment of principle in Christians' lives. We say, well, how do God's people deal with this issue? How do we stand fast? How do we deal with these attacks? How do we deal with our society, the community, the world we're living in today that's putting so much pressure on God's people to just abandon principle? Just lighten up a little bit. Don't be so rigid. Don't follow that old book you call the Bible. Just relax a little bit. How do we deal with that? Well, I believe it's going to require you and I as God's church to be steadfast. We're just going to dig on our heels, so to speak, and stand fast, aren't we? Let me read to you some verses. You're probably not going to have time to turn there. I don't want to take a whole lot of time necessarily to go to those passages. I just want to read them to you. And I want you to think upon what the Bible says about standing fast or being steadfast. There's one found in Proverbs or Psalm 78, verse 8, speaking of the older generation, the generation of the past, speaking really of the Jews, that the fathers that did not obey God, they rebelled. And it says this, "It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." That was their fault. They weren't steadfast with God. Think about this, 1 Peter 5, 9. Peter says, "Whom resist," that is the devil, "steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, brethren, that are in the world." Resist steadfast in the faith. Think about 1 Corinthians 16, 13. "Watch ye," Paul says, "stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." Is there ever a day and a time in our country's history that we need some men today? Some men that are willing to stand fast, be strong, quit you like men, he says. We need some men today. I need some men. It's not wrong to be a man. The society is trying to tell us we need to be more feminine. And the Bible says we need to be a man. Jesus was a man. He was a man's man. He was a strong man. And he had courage and he stood fast for the truth. Think about this, Galatians 5, 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The bondage of works salvation, the bondage of sin. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, this is what Paul said, this is what I want to find of you, Church of Colossae. He says, else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then he says in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, there are some traditions. I know oftentimes when we say we don't want to follow traditions per se more than the word of God, but there are some traditions that Paul's saying here that are based upon Scripture. Some truths, some things that we live by. He says you hold to those things because they are biblical, they are right, they are true according to the word of God. And so we think about this idea of standing fast. You say, what does it mean to stand fast? I just want to give you a few thoughts about standing fast, and we'll be done this morning. And I'll give you a few statements. They all kind of go together, but just a different way to put it. And get you thinking about standing fast, being steadfast for the Lord Jesus Christ in this day and in this hour. First of all, let me have you think about this. Standing fast, you say, what does it mean? Or what does it mean to stand fast? Standing fast is doing what you know to be right, and trusting God to take care of the results. Doing what you know to be right. I know this is right, based on Scripture, I'm just doing what's right, and then trust God to take care of the results. You know, I think about the old Joseph back in the Old Testament. You know, Joseph was a good character. You like studying about Joseph. I know if you were younger in Sunday school, you probably heard a lot of stories about Joseph back in the Old Testament, of course. And we know that he was thrown into the pit by his brothers. They hated him. And then he was sold into slavery, and then while he's there in slavery, of course, his Potiphar's wife accuses him of abusing her, so he's thrown into prison. And all the while, you look at Joseph's life, and all those different circumstances, you know what he did? He just said, I'm going to do right. I'm just going to keep on doing right. Even though things are not going my way, things are going against me, I'm just going to keep doing right. I'm going to trust God for the results. He was thrown into a pit. He just said, I'm going to keep doing right and trust God for the results. You know, Potiphar's house, Potiphar didn't have to watch over Joseph, did he? I mean, Joseph could have been sulking. He could have been upset. He could have had a bad attitude. But man, he just kept on, I'm just going to please the Lord. I'm going to do God's business. Everything I do, I'm just going to, everything I've got accomplished, I'm going to do it for God's glory. And he kept doing right. He just kept doing well. Even though things went against him, he said, I'm just going to keep doing right. And by the way, you know the end of the story, don't you? Things turned out well for Joseph, didn't they? That turned out really good for Joseph. God's in control. He said, I'm going to do right, and I'm just going to trust God for the results. Now, think about Colossians chapter 3. If you want to turn there, you can. Colossians chapter 3. Notice these couple of verses. Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, by the way, great chapter to read. A lot of good memory verses in Colossians chapter 3. But I notice here a couple of verses that we need to be reminded of these days. And especially when we think about doing right at all times and just standing fast in righteousness. Colossians 3, and we're going to look here at verse number 17, first of all. The Bible says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all how? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you put that? Can you put his name behind everything you do? At the workplace, at home, in society, wherever you go, and all the activities you're involved in, can you put Jesus Christ's name behind everything you do? He says it right there, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then you notice as well, verse 23, he says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, how? As to the Lord, and not unto men. I'll tell you, if you want to stand fast, you need to do what you know is right. Do it heartily. Do it to the best of your ability to please God. Not to please men, but to please God. Just do right. And you let God take care of the results. And I think about this, doing right, this idea of trying to always do right. Make the right decision. Be right around people. Be right in your actions and those kind of things. And I thought about this. You know, doing right, especially if you think about Joseph and his life, doing right can sometimes cause you grief. Do you know that? It can. And we think sometimes to ourselves, we grow up in, if you grow up in church, especially as a young person, you get older, the way it sounds sometimes, we think to ourselves, listen, And if I do right, that means everything's going to go smooth, right? Everybody's going to like me. God's favor is going to be upon me. He's going to bless me. And everything is going to be great in my life. But I found as I've grown up and trying to live for God and trying to do the right thing and trying to make the right decisions, I found that's just not always the case. We live in an evil world. We live in a dark place. And there's a lot of people that don't want you doing right. There's a lot of people that aren't interested in righteousness. And it's going to cause you grief sometimes. And, you know, I think of it like when I used to play soccer. One of the drills we had in soccer practice was what we kind of termed it as gut check. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before, but he would line up all the players. Our coach would line up all of his players on the inline, and we lined up shoulder to shoulder. So there we're standing shoulder to shoulder. And he would say, all right, put your hands behind your back. And so we'd have to stand there just like this. And our coach knew that in the game, this is in high school, by the way, so he knew in the game, a lot of times he'd see us as players when we were going against the other team, and that team, maybe that player on the team was getting ready to just, you know, kick the ball. He was getting ready to boot it, you know, kind of, he was going to lay into it. A lot of times what we would do as players is we're fearful of that ball hitting us, you know, in the gut or somewhere, so we would jump and we'd turn our back to the ball. That's a lot better. Your back can take the brunt of the ball a lot better than your stomach can. And so to kind of get us used to that and kind of get us to the point that we're going to stand fast and we're going to take it, whatever comes our way. He said, listen, put your hands behind your back. And he'd go down the line and take that soccer ball with both hands and he'd shove it as hard as he could right into our stomach. And what he was wanting to see is, are we going to jump back? Are we going to fall to the ground? Are we going to crunch over? Are we going to scream and cry, that kind of thing? And he was wanting to toughen us up a little bit and say, listen, I want you to stand fast. I want you to take it to the gut. Just take that hit and keep on standing. You know what kind of Christians we need today? We need some Christians that are willing to take that gut check, if you will, so to speak, and just stand fast. Take the blow. If you do right, you're going to take some blows. You're going to take some grief. But stand fast and just do what you know is right and trust God with the results. You know, the reason why you're going to have to take some grief sometimes for doing right is because there's going to be some grief to others because you do right. Do you know that? There might be some family members that don't take too kindly to you doing right and following God's word and standing upon biblical principle. And because of that, they may take some grief from it. They may want you to be a part of their business, a part of their activity. And you may say, I cannot do that because there's biblical principles that I live by. And it may cause them grief. There may be some religious people in your life, the religious crowd, right, that doesn't care about necessarily biblical principle. They want to follow their opinions of how they live the Christian life. They may take some grief, or they may be at grief because you are standing for what's right. And it may cause them conviction in their life. They may not take too kindly to you following those biblical principles that you stand upon. But let me tell you this morning, just do what you know is right. Just do what you know is right based on God's word. The Bible says in James 4, and I think it is 17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It's sin. So I think when we think about standing fast, just do what you know is right and then trust God with the results. No matter what grief may come your way, no matter what grief may be caused to others, you just do right and trust God. I thought about this as well. Doing right often means going against the majority. We like that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't that one of the most great, that's the greatest stories, I think, in all of Scripture, one of the greatest ones. I love that story because here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they stood when everyone else bowed. And they stood with their own fellow countrymen, did they not? I mean, there's many Jews all around them. Many of them were in captivity. And I don't know how many people were there that day, but all tongues and all nations, all people had to come. And they had to bow down to that image. Can you, I just picture thousands of people. And you think about yourself in the place of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you imagine thousands, hundreds to thousands of people that are bowing the knee to this idol. And these three men, these three young men stood in the midst of that entire that sea of crowd of people. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the fear that you might have well up in your heart? You're thinking to yourself, everybody's bowing. And yet, I know it's not right. I know I shouldn't do that, but everybody's bowing. And I can imagine the thoughts going on in their heads. Should we bow? Are we going to bow? Should we do this thing or should we not? Should we stand? And these three young boys, they said, look, we're just going to stand. We're going to do what we know is right, and we're just going to trust God with the results. And by the way, it turned out good for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't it? I think I'd have loved to walk in the fiery furnace with the Lord Jesus Christ. That would have been an incredible moment, I'm sure, in their life. And so they trusted God in this thing of standing fast. You think about the story of the 12 spies that went to the land of Canaan. 12 went. How many stood for what was right? Just two, right? Two of them stood. And by the way, they were called, Israel called to stone them because they wanted to believe God, do the right thing, and go into the land of Canaan and take it. As God gave them promise, he'd give it to them. And two of them stood out of the 12. And then you think about old Pilate. You know, all of the people were crying, crucifying, crucifying. Pilate said, look, I find no fault in him. What did Pilate do? Did he stand fast? Or did he give in to the demands of the crowd? He gave in. He gave in. Our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Of course, that was God's will. But you think about that. Some stand fast. Others give in to the demands of friends, family, the crowd that's around them. And I want to say, when we think about standing fast, what does it mean? I believe it means to do right no matter what. Just trusting God with the results. Think about this thought as well when you think about standing fast. Standing fast is to not be moved from the biblical right. To not be moved from the biblical right. We found it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He said that no man would be moved or might be moved by these afflictions. He says you don't need to be moved off of your foundation, your stand upon the truth. Standing fast is to not be moved from the biblical right. I'm finding the more and more I talk with people today is that everybody has an opinion. Right? Your family members have an opinion. Your coworkers have an opinion. You've got your neighbors, they have an opinion. Everybody seems to have an opinion. And one of the things I told a family member, a distant family member here just recently, I said, well, understand something. What your opinion is, you call it your opinion. I want you to know I'm not telling you my opinion. It's not my opinion versus your opinion. I've got the truth. It's the Word of God. And I'm not fighting opinion versus opinion. I don't give people my opinion. I'm making sure they understand, listen, I know what the Bible teaches. I know what is true. And I'm giving to you truth. And you can either accept the truth or you can argue against the truth. But the fact of the matter is, it's not opinion versus opinion. You've got an opinion. I've got the truth. Right. And I'm speaking to you the Word of God. And that's what I'm going to stand fast for. I'm not going to be moved from what I know the Bible teaches is true. And so standing fast is standing, not being moved from the truth that we find in God's Word. It seems like today there's no longer a standard of right. But I want you to recognize there is a standard of right when it comes to the Word of God. It's becoming increasingly more difficult, I believe, in today's day to stand fast when so many Christians have moved from the biblical right. So many Christians are not living in step with the Scripture. And it's making it harder and harder for many Christians to try to stand fast when others they see that are close to them are moving away from the Word of God and its teaching and a biblical truth. You think about dress. You think about music. You think about worship. You can think about the standards, biblical standards, all these different things. We're moving away from the biblical right. I want to encourage you this morning, church, don't be moved away from the biblical right. Amen. Don't let the religious crowd, don't let those that may name have a group name, so to speak, maybe even in fundamentalism that would say, hey, we're gonna make some changes here. We're going to compromise a little bit to reach the world. Don't let those groups, don't let those people move you from the biblical right. Think about this. God's people are to remain steadfast in the faith. 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Of course, he talks about there a reward that comes as a result of that. But think about this here this morning. I want to say it this way. Don't ever let people move you. Don't ever let people move you. There's people that are probably in your life today that want to move you. And they want to change you. They don't like the way you stand. They don't like what you're for. They want to move you. They want you to be a part of their group. They want you to fit in. They want you to do the things that they're involved in. And by the way, parents, don't let your children move you. And grandparents, don't let your grandchildren move you from the truth, from the biblical right. They may get sweet on you and try to encourage you in a sweet way to move and to kind of lower the standard. Right, parents? They may try to do that. They may throw a temper tantrum. They may throw an attitude. They may act like they don't like you anymore. They may try to intimidate you, if you will, or pressure you to lower the standard so they can do the things they want to do. Now, let me encourage you this morning. Don't ever let people move you. Don't let children move you. Now, you know what's right. You know what God's Word teaches. You stand fast upon the truth of God's Word. Now, don't ever let the times move you. This world is ever-changing. Isn't it amazing how much change has taken place? Matter of fact, the past couple of years, maybe the last year and a half, there's been a lot of change. And I believe in the coming year to possibly coming years ahead, we're going to see a lot of changes take place in America and our society. Let me tell you this morning, don't ever let the times move you. Don't ever let your feelings move you. I'll tell you, Satan's a mastermind. He's so able to recognize what we're feeling. And he plays on those feelings to move us from what we know to be true and right according to the Word of God. Sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I'm the only one. Remember, Elijah thought he was the only one. And God said he had thousands that were standing firm on the truth, standing firm for the Lord Jesus Christ or for God at that time. He said, sometimes we think we're the only one. Satan plays on that to get us to move. Sometimes we say, well, I'm too rigid. I'm too tight on the Word of God. And Satan makes us feel that way. Or uses that to cause us to move. Maybe we think this thought. Or we feel like, well, I feel like I'm not any fun. I feel like everybody thinks I'm no fun. Nobody wants anything to do with me because I'm standing upon biblical truth. I'm not being moved. That's a feeling that Satan will play upon to move you from the right. And let me encourage you this morning, standing fast is to not be moved from the biblical right. And then let me give you this thought as well. We'll be through as we finish this thought. Standing fast is living for God when the world around you is not. Standing fast is living for God when the world around you is not. I like what the psalmist said. I'll read you this verse in Psalm 119 and verse number 31. Listen carefully, because he puts it, maybe we could say he puts it in our vernacular today a little bit, kind of like maybe some people would say today. He put it this way: I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. I've stuck. And I'm like that glue, man. I'm just stuck to your testimonies. I'm not moving. I'm not bending. I'm not getting moved away from it. I'm stuck unto thy testimonies. It's kind of like the phrase I gave a little while ago, just digging your feet in. I think the psalmist said, I'm digging my feet into the Word of God, the testimonies of God, and I'm not being swayed. I'm not being pushed. I'm not being moved. I'm not being shoved aside. I'm going to stand right there on these truths. You know, old Noah was called of God to build that ark. I think it took about 100 years, 120 years or so to build that ark. Can you imagine when you think about Noah and was it 8 people that entered the ark? Noah and his family, that was it. And of all those years, it was Noah and his family doing what God said, living for God, doing God's will. Can you imagine maybe the doubts that may have come into his mind? Really, Lord? Is this really what God would have me to do? I mean, everybody's against this. Nobody's for it. Nobody's with me. It's just me and my family standing in society alone. And yet, here he was, living for God. Kept on living for God. He kept standing fast. He wasn't moved. He wasn't tempted to turn aside. He just kept on doing what he knew was right, what God's will was for his life. What do you have to gain, by the way, by compromise? You may say this morning, well, I have to gain the favor of man. But can I say this morning, you might gain the favor of man by compromise, but when you do so, you'll lose the favor of God. And this morning, I don't know if anything greater in my life and in your life and as a church, nothing greater in all this world than to have the favor of God upon your life. And you can go back and read through the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. You can find that if he did not have the favor of God upon his life, he would not have been successful. He would not have prospered. He had never come to be second in command to Pharaoh. But because Joseph stood fast, God's favor was upon his life, and he was rewarded as a result of that. You know, as time passes, each generation moves further and further to the left. I believe we can see that. And we can look through time and see how we've moved from the right to the left at a great distance from biblical right. It's vital that God's people cleave to the Lord their God. Amen. Now, if I encourage you this morning, I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know where you are in your Christian life. But maybe you've drifted a little bit. Maybe the pressure's been put on you. Maybe you've compromised a little bit in your Christian life. Maybe you've been moved a little bit from the biblical right. Can I encourage you this morning? Why not today you just draw nigh to God and you cleave to Him? You say, Lord, by your grace and by your help, by your courage, and by your strength, I will stand fast for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He stood for me, and I'm going to stand for Him. Shame comes when we don't stick to God's testimonies. I want to close with some scripture here this morning. Would you listen carefully to Peter and what he said? He says in 2 Peter 3, he talks about the fact that this world, the wicked of this world as a whole, the heavens and this earth are going to be destroyed by the judgment of God. God's going to judge wickedness, and He's going to judge it with destruction. And here's what Peter says as a result of that. Would you listen carefully? He says, ye therefore, beloved, that's you and I that are the church of God this morning, that you and I that are born again, saved believers in Jesus Christ, he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, he says, beware, lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you grow? Would you draw nigh to God and grow in your relationship with Him, in your steadfastness in Him? Ephesians chapter 6, you know these verses very well. I want to read them to you again. Maybe if you want to follow along, you can. Ephesians chapter 6, this great passage on the whole armor of God. He says this in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Church, it's time that we stand. If you've stood, let's keep standing. Let's be a Christian that stands in the workplace for what's right. Let's be a mother and a father, a grandparent that stands for biblical right. Let's be a church member that's going to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word this morning, the opportunity we've had to look therein. Father, you've commanded your people, and you've called us, Lord, to separate from this world and to stand fast upon biblical principle, upon the will of God for our lives, and just do right and trust you with the results. Lord, I pray for that individual that might be here this morning, that might be thinking in their heart and in their mind, that I can't stand fast. And maybe it's, Lord, because they don't know you. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for that individual that might not be saved this morning, that doesn't have that strength and the courage of the Holy Spirit to stand fast in this world. Lord, I pray for them, you might touch their heart and help them to realize their need of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray to help every believer this morning to maybe those that need to, in a way, to rededicate their life to standing fast for Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ. Father, I pray to bless the invitation at this time. You accomplish your will, we pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the piano plays, we'll have you go ahead and stand to your feet this time, if you would. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. I wonder this morning, would you say, I don't know Jesus Christ. I don't have that personal relationship with Him whereby I can receive strength from Him to stand fast. We'd love for you to come this morning. We'd love to share with you how you can know Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you come, we'll take a Bible and share with you how you can come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. How about a Christian? How about a believer? Are you standing?